Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We have attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Basketball fans, the Living in Loserville podcast returns. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining me very shortly. Excuse me. Well, another week of Minnesota basketball. Another week of losing, especially on the Gopher side. The Timberwolves looked pretty good. Not long ago against Houston, obviously two nights ago, on Wednesday, they did pick up a win as well, or two in a row. So that's something. No, but we are back, Living in Loserville podcast. And we do have a fair amount to talk about. Obviously, the Timberwolves, like I mentioned, coming off that big win over the Houston Rockets, who've been playing, you know, spirited ball, especially behind Harden. So that, you know, that was a big win. We're definitely going to start with some recap from the last couple of games. I thought that Pelicans game was pretty disappointing, considering the fourth quarter didn't have the other team's best player. I have a little issue with how that went. But we did pick up two wins on the Timberwolves side. You know, we're about to go into a 9-day break until the next game. It's Friday right now. Next Friday will be the next game. And obviously they hadn't played since Wednesday. So for the Timberwolves, can't remember who they play, actually. I forgot. But yeah, the Timberwolves are off for a week. So you can expect next week podcast to be a little shorter, you know, as we talk the Gophers. Of course, the Gophers, you know, here we are, man. We figure for the Gopher topics, we're going to go wall-to-wall NIT preview, baby. That's right, the NIT preview. And no, not that NIT that meant something back, what, in the 70s. We're talking about the current, as we know for quite some time, NIT talk. No, we're not going to talk NIT just yet. I guess we will, you know, ask the question, Gopher-wise, NCAA tourney or NIT. But as far as Timberwolves, a lot of people on, you know, basketball Timberwolves Twitter have been quite happy without Wiggins. So we'll address some of that a little bit. You know, like I said, we'll break down that Houston victory a little bit more with detail, because, you know, it happened not long ago. We'll kind of, you know, quickly go over the other two games since we last talked. Couple other questions on the Timberwolves side during the break and really post All-Star break, the rest of the games. You know, should we tweak the starting lineup even more? Should we allow the injured players to return back to the normal rotation and see just how good they could have been, obviously, without Covington all this damn time? That makes a difference. Also, short-term and long-term goals just for the rest of the season, kind of the same stuff. They're just adding layers. Obviously, a guy like Dario will be something to talk about there. The short and long term goal. Do we you know, put him in the starting lineup to see what we got, and potentially trade him down the line, or is he our guy next to Cat? And maybe a couple of trade misses, especially including Tulliver. We'll talk a little bit later. And like I said, we can't preview the next game per se, because they don't have a next game until Friday. Maybe we'll, you know, peep at the the schedule coming up and see how difficult it is. Gophers-wise, well, we're going to have a quick little review on that loss at Michigan State, which was just ugly as hell. And what do you know? Now Michigan State is on a roll, right? They're going to win the Big Ten now after losing three straight. And then that Nebraska game, being that it just happened a couple of days ago, we're going to detail that one. I don't like, and neither does my co-host, like to just blame refs, but wow, the last couple of calls or non-calls was kind of ridiculous at the end of that Nebraska game. Like I said, we'll pose the question, NCAA or NIT, which, you know, which one will it be for the Gophers? Just a month, you know, a month out, basically. We got a month left or so. We'll definitely preview the two home games coming up. Indiana, a must win. And kind of a must win, I'd say, with Michigan, even though they're ranked so high. We have to upset one of these teams that we lost to. Almost beat Michigan on their home floor. Could have played a lot better down the stretch of that Purdue game. You know, I'll stop there. But even that Maryland game at home, we could have played better down the stretch. It seems like that's been an issue, you know, all year long at times. Anyway, so we're going to talk Timberwolves. We're going to talk Gophers. If this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, it, you know, we stream it live every week here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoveradio. So it streams live here. It also archives. It's basically the headquarters for a variety of podcasts. The Living in Loserville podcast is under the Rope a Dope Radio podcast and a lot of different places, though. Whether it's iTunes, you can subscribe and rate the show there. TuneIn, a whole lot of listens from TuneIn over the years. Player FM, Stitcher, Spreaker. Like I said, Player FM, we get a lot of listens to as well. A lot of people like the setup on that. Check it out, Player FM. And we're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which it can be subscribed to at iTunes everywhere. Spreaker, they got a really good app there. You can also find the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network on iHeartRadio. Stream it there or stream it live on Spotify as well. Not live like right now, I should say that. But you can stream it on Spotify in general. Head on over to the Grueling Truth.net. That's the GruelingTruth.net. You can also listen to the podcast right there, the Living in Loserville podcast, right at the GruelingTruth.net if you want. Also, you know, you can read articles at the GruelingTruth.net, obviously, right? They have basketball, football, boxing, baseball, everything in between. I do a weekly college basketball predictions as well. And then while you're at the GruelingTruth.net, it'll link you right to mybookie.ag if you want to place a bet. It's mybookie.ag. And also, real quick before we start, I'm going to let you know a little later in the show about DirecTV Now. It's a streaming service. A lot of people have either cut the cord, cut the cable cord, or are thinking about it, pondering it. You know, for years I just had normal cable. A lot of times it was Comcast where I lived, and I got sick of that because that freaking bill got out of hand. It was just stupid. So I went with DirecTV, the satellite, and for a good, you know, 6-7 years, it was cheaper. Then, you know, they got more popular. They started adding it on. The price went up. And after a decade, you're thinking, what the hell, dude? This is just a lot of money in general here. But if you're thinking about cutting the cord, maybe you just don't watch a whole lot of TV. You just watch sports. That's really all you want, is just to be able to watch sports. You could figure out everything else on your smart TV. You could sign up for DirecTV Now. The pricing, I mean, you could have 100 live channels. You could still have your Netflix. You could still have your Amazon. You could add HBO or Showtime. And you could still save $50 to $100 on your cable bill. DirecTV Now. I'm going to go over the deals and also AT&T customers, the tie-in there. I'm going to go over the deals a little later in the show. But just so you know, DirecTV Now is the place to be for streaming. I do it myself. I tried YouTube cable. I tried Sling. I tried Hulu. I tried a variety of them. So we're going to get to that in just a moment. But right about now, I'm going to stop blubbering and blabbering, and I'm going to, you know, check in, check the temperature, check the pulse of my co-host, Aaron. What's going on? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, I'm pretty good. Looks like a pretty decent week for the Wolves. 2-2, couple of road losses, couple home wins. And things didn't go, you know, it's hard to say that things could have gone worse than we thought they would have gone at Michigan State for the Gophers, but I think it went a little bit worse than even you and I had anticipated. We both thought that they would lose, but I didn't see them just getting blown out of the gym. It's kind of what happened. I guess there's a lot going on with us celebrating one of their championship teams and kind of ran into a hornet's nest there. But yeah, so we got the Gopher problems to talk about. And, you know, pretty decent. Some nice changes for the Wolves as far as who they're playing, who they're not. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about.
And I really was going to go with that wall-to-wall NIT talk there for a second, but I just can't bring myself to do it in mid-February, Aaron. I just can't bring myself to do it. And there's a lot of
speculation.
I mean, are we going to get one home game or two home games? I mean, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to that good old NIT, isn't there?
I mean, technically, from what I'm hearing, we're still an NCAA bubble team. But, I mean, looking at the upcoming schedule and all that other stuff, it's just kind of hard to see. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good talker, you know, for the NIT versus NCAA. But, yeah, you want to get two home games in the NIT if you can.
That'd be nice. We could do the show live from there going against East Tennessee, middle of the road, A&M something. Anyway, before we get to those Golden Gophers who are currently on a 4-game losing streak, we got to talk about our Timberwolves. Like you said, 2-2, had a really nice home victory. What do you know? 2-2, two on the road, we lose, two at home, you know, we win. The road has just been nightmares for the Timberwolves this year in general. But we did get a nice victory, you know, at Houston to watch the rookie Joshua. This guy, Okogie, man, he's so fun to watch. And he really sparked a lot of that. But before we get to that, just quickly, not going to go too much detail quarter by quarter by quarter by quarter or some in-depth look at it, but you know, we are going to start real quick talking about that New Orleans game. You know, we're coming off that Orlando loss, and it's just like the night we did it last Thursday, and it was just, really? We lost to Orlando? How long? You know, we were down certain, you know, 23-4 in the game before, and I think it was 30-13 at times, and you're thinking, what the hell is going on? You know, Bayless then was out for that game. We started Isaiah Cannon. We did bring Teague off the bench, and he played pretty good, Teague did. So that was a nice little spark off the bench. You know, it was disappointing, though. And I guess it's just a road thing or whatever, but when you're up 18 at, I think I marked down 47-29 midway through the second quarter, and you choke it away, and it's 62-62 at a half. And then the Pelicans, of course, go on a run in the third quarter. We managed to actually cut the lead, though, back to 1 or 2 points by the end of the third. Here's the thing. You know, Anthony Davis, one of the best players in the league, didn't even play in the fourth quarter. So at that point, he had a monster game through three quarters. Thank God he didn't play there. Now, Cat played very well. Usually we talked about how several, most of the centers, the big bigs, I guess you could call them in this day and age, they usually eat, you know, Karl Anthony Towns' lunch. They take his lunch money. They, you know, they make him do homework, take tests for him. They walk him home, you know, with him home and say, hey, do my chores and everything. But I got to say, he played pretty good there. He's been playing great overall, especially since the Butler trade, but just in general. But just to go back to the game, I mean, it was close most of that fourth quarter until maybe the last 3-4 minutes, and the Pelicans just got enough distance from us to close the game out. You know, Okogie actually did struggle from the field. That is one thing that holds you back from saying this guy is in the starting lineup, screw Wiggins and go with Covington. But obviously that, you know, his offensive game, his shooting will come around, I assume. Wiggins was near a triple double. Oh my God, what was that all about? And then, like I mentioned, Cat played well, but Davis through three had a monster game. So that was pretty disappointing. It really was. Now, they did bounce back against the Clippers. You saw Rose back, Keaton back in the starting lineup. So that was nice to get that 1-2 punch. Tyus still out. Obviously, we know Covington's still out. We'll talk a little bit later about his health because he finally talked to the media and we finally heard some things. So hopefully signs are starting to point that Covington and basically the rest of our team will be back after the break. Let's hope, man, because we need him for this stretch run just in general. But we did start Dario in that Clippers game. Of course, just like the old Minnesota basketball living and loser theme, he picked up 2 fouls real quick. Luol Dang did get in, and he's been playing good the last 2 games. And when he's actually got in the last month or so, he's played decently, hit a couple of clutch threes or whatever. Wiggins has been out of the last 2 games with a sickness. But, you know, they came out flat against the Clippers. You did get Rose and Gibson to get a nice spark off the bench. I think it was 29-26. They were down after the first. Clippers kind of went on a little run, but Rose, I mean, this guy, he got us back in that game, and he streaked down the court, you know, to close off that half. That was pretty fun to watch. 18-3 run. They got it to 63-55, or they were up, I'm sorry. Rose had 12 in the first, and you had Dang, who had a couple of steals, had 9 points. And right off the bat, they came out like gangbusters in that game. Saric hit a 3. Teague did as well. And it was a 13. It was like 40. Yeah, I even wrote it down. 47 seconds into that Clippers second half, and we're up 13. And then all of a sudden, 2 minutes in, 76-57. But, of course, slowly but surely, the Clippers cut into that lead, chop it down to 98-91. And it got as close as 119-115 with about 4 minutes left. Luckily, they were able to, you know, the Timberwolves were able to create enough separation to put it out of reach. But pretty disappointing in that Pelicans game to not have Davis in the fourth quarter and still find a way to lose that game. And also, you can give your thoughts, if any, on that Clippers game as well. But it's just a theme all year. We've had many a themes, Aaron, all year, but the road woes, how badly, poorly we play on the road is just a slap in the face. We actually had a decent road record, except in the East last year, randomly, but we had a pretty damn good road record last year. What did you think of that just crappy fourth quarter? You got to put the game away when Davis isn't playing. And then, like I said, they did bounce back, and we tweaked the starting lineup a little bit.
Yeah, well, the thing about that is, you know, to keep in line with the name of this show, Living in Loserville, is, you know, Davis hadn't played for, what, a couple weeks? Because they thought he was on the trading block.
Yep.
And, you know, what do you know? Just in time to play us, he comes out and helps to establish such a lead through 3 quarters that they don't need him in the fourth quarter. And that was just something. He was getting booed to start the game and then ends up getting cheered and sits the fourth quarter because they're so far ahead. It was one of those things where you just go, yeah, that seems about right for the way things are going. But, you know, so we get a road loss there. And then, you know, it's nice to see Rose really come through like he did in the Clipper game. I mean, that's the impression I took out of the Clipper game, is that it's just good to have him playing well. And it kind of changes your plans a little bit because, you know, I think Rose has made it pretty clear through the media that he likes this team, he likes this city. So I think he's part of the future plans. Now, of course, you and I would like to see him end up in a sort of a more of a bench role, get somebody else to come and play some bigger minutes so maybe we can extend that career a little bit. But I really like how he's been playing, and he really showed out well against the Clippers. And Cat did too as well, you know, 24-10. It's a good solid line you want to see from him. You know, you want to see more than 10 rebounds. You want to see, you know, 20 or more points and, you know, maybe above that. But it's a pretty solid line for him. The Wiggins absence has been felt in almost a positive way. That's kind of eerie for a max contract player. I think we got to make some big decisions in the offseason of what to do with him. Now, he signed that deal, so, I mean, trading him is going to be difficult unless you find someone who really likes him or really thinks they can get something out of him for that money. But, you know, it's a tough situation. And so I thought, you know, overall I saw a little bit more grit from the team, which is what I wanted to see. And I like the playing time that Okogie and Sarge are getting. Like we kind of said last show, I thought that that's kind of something we needed to see more of, just to see a little bit more heart on the court and guys that are willing to show out for the squad. And so I thought, you know, those two changes in the lineup have proven to be pretty successful. I'd like to see that continue in the future past the break and, you know, get the injured guys back. And then we go on and we played the Rockets. Which was an interesting game, I thought, through and through, having Harden come in and, you know, score 42 is never good. But right. I thought that Okogie held him in check, sort of got a nice block on him, kind of the highlight block. People think Okogie was a little more defensively dominated than what I thought he was, but I thought he made a point to play defense and to just tell Harden that, hey, you know, you're not going to get everything you want. We're going to take something away from you. And I think that sort of helped the whole game and the flow of the game as well. And it, like you said earlier, Kogi's just been a really nice spark plug, whether he's off the bench or he's in spot starting roles. He just kind of offers you that defensive presence and youthful energy that you're going to need to see from him. So I'm real happy about that. And, you know, you get the win against the Rockets. It was pretty cold up here. I don't know if the Rockets mailed it in, but nonetheless, you get the W and you move on.
Yeah, it has been he is just a big spark. And to shoot 54% as a team and hold them to 40%, especially, you know, 35%, you know, percent from the three, basically 36 now that I look at it. We shot 10 of 20, 50% right there. That's pretty damn good. You know, I agree with that Harden thing. You know, first of all, just, you know, the last handful of years, ever since Golden State and a couple of teams started chucking up so many threes, Houston and the Clippers and whatnot, especially Houston, you know, it's not only not just your dad's ball game anymore, you know, style of game. It's not your granddad's. It's not Nate Smith. I mean, 53 threes in a game to put up, it's just it's pretty mind-boggling, especially for our generation and beyond. He got 42, like you said, but he put up 22, 8 to 22 from three. And a lot of those, when Okogie was on him, he was right up on him. 34 shots, 15 of 34 to get to 42. I'll take it. I'll definitely take it. Teague had a monster game, 27 and 12. This guy can get to the rack. Okogie bounced back the last two games shooting-wise, too. His three, he's got to find his three. I do believe it's there, though. If you look at his college days, I do believe it's there. But Dario's been playing really well these last 3 to 5 games, if you look at his numbers. But 16 points, though, was pretty big. Gibson, that's what I love about Gibson. And if he, I think that maybe a contender will like him, you know, next year. But if that's not the case, I'd love to bring him off the bench because he doesn't care. He said, hey, you know, whatever it is, just make it be that way. I don't want to go back and forth. Just either put me on the bench or start me on good. And, you know, 10 and 8, played some really solid minutes, like you said, Rose did as well. It was just a, you know, a good game. Obviously, still no complete timetable on Covington. Tyus is fairly close. They did get off to a pretty good start. Houston kind of made a little run and actually led by a point. But it was fairly competitive throughout the game. We did have 30 points in the paint, and their big guy, who actually, speaking of eating cat's lunch, did that last year. Their long, lanky center, who they, you know, signed to that extension, or actually that deal, he was a free agent, wasn't in there. So that helped. We got a whole lot of points in the paint. But we were down 6 at half or something like that. And, I mean, by the midway point, Aaron, third quarter, 48 to 28 points in the paint, and that's when Okogie just went nuts. You know, we were getting down by like 7, and he'd come back and make a run. You could see the crowd was getting into it. And then we actually went over the top of it, got up by like 9. The Rockets did cut it down. I think it was 87-84 at the end of the third quarter. 7 minutes left, tight game, 100-97. Okogie hit a 3. With 4 minutes left, it was 108-102. Then you had Teague and Harden started just trading threes. Back and forth we go, and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, it's 115-111. Oh, no, it's tighter now. But, you know, it was a nice pass, actually. After, I think Dario should have taken another 3 in there in this possession we had late, but Cat did make a nice pass to Okogie for that dunk. And then Cat in the post had a nice little bucket, and we extended it, and that was the game. But, yeah, it was nice to see them beat a quality team instead of, you know, being with them for 3.5 quarters and just lose it. You know what I mean? So that was very nice. That was very nice. And we got a spread effort. You look at Dario, 15 points. Luol Dieng playing some solid minutes, 13 and 8 rebounds and 4 assists. Towns didn't get that was weird. I didn't realize that he didn't get a double-double in that. But he had 5 assists as well. And like I mentioned, he had a big game. So, you know, obviously we're not going to preview, you know, the rest of the game's coming up. It is at New York, which is a must win. Obviously you're playing the Knicks, so you have to, I don't care if that, you know, where that game was, you got to beat the damn Knicks. But, you know, just talking about tweaking the starting lineups, short-term, long-term goals, you know, for the last chunk of the season, the stretch run, we're still only 4 games out of the playoffs, and the Clippers, who sold around the trade deadline, you know, are in that 8th spot. So, and New Orleans is around there. We know they're going to go down because they're not even going to play Davis full minutes, you know, because they don't want him to wear him down. Or I don't really know what the hell's going on there. We thought we had a messed up franchise. Wow, what the hell's going on there, man? That is pretty ridiculous. But anyway, we just brushed upon this, you know, last week, but let's get a little bit more detail, Aaron. We talked about Dario being the starting lineup. That should be the rest of the season. We do have him signed for next year, but then we're going to have to make a decision on him. And maybe if he played well the last 2 months here, we could make a decision a little bit earlier and sign him to an extension before. Wonder if he comes back next year and he puts up, you know, in a contract year, and then all of a sudden we owe him even more money. He may be trade bait down the line. You just never know. So we got to keep him in the lineup, like we said last week. But as far as these injured players coming back, what do we do? Do you keep Teague in the starting rotation? Is that what we do to keep his numbers up? Maybe he comes back here, takes his option. It's pretty damn likely unless someone's going to give him a 3-year deal. So then the long run, he could stack up maybe more money. But next year, either way, in the starting lineup or whatever, he's going to be a commodity for the Timberwolves if he opts in, which, you know, $19 mil, no one's going to pay him $19 mil a year over a 2-3-4 year, you wouldn't assume anyway. should we keep Teague in the starting lineup? Because the guy can get to the rack. He can hit the three once in a while. He is a good player. He's a solid player, good role player on the team. Or once Tyus gets back, do we look like, you know, do we take a look, since he's actually a free agent we have to make a decision on, install him in the starting lineup, let him do the Dario and see him in the starting lineup for these next 20-plus games. Here we are at 27-30, still allergic to 500. In fact, we got five games away from 500. Usually we've been dipping. But what do you think here? We kind of addressed it last week with Dario, and it looks like that's what they're going to do. I think that's a smart thing just in general. But what do you think about Tyus or Teague, knowing that we're going to have to pay, and knowing Teague wants to be – or, I mean, Tyus wants to be here. What do you think here, man? Should we go with – once he gets back and it looks fit, do we put him in the lineup and just say screw it, and maybe that'll – make Teague think about next year a little bit longer? Or do we keep with Teague because that probably gives us the best chance right now, just because he is experienced? They probably put up similar numbers. What do you think here, man? What do you think? And a lot of this depends on what we think of our guy Tyus, the hometown kid, the clutch performer in the national championship, I'll add. You know, do we see him as a legit starting lineup, especially in this we don't need more offensive lineup that we have? Maybe he is a perfect fit as a pass first.
Well, Chris, I mean, that's a lot of things there. I think it's all going to start with Ryan Saunders. Now, I'm going to work under the assumption that he is going to be the coach next year and for the recent future. So in that, I think we're going to start to see him use a lot of different lineups, exactly for the reasons that we're kind of going over right now. I think he will try Jones a little bit at the start, you know, just to see what he's got as a starter, always knowing that you have the option to put him back on the bench as a backup point guard, where I think he fits best. Now, I'd like him to surprise me and show that he can be a competent starter, because that can kind of settle some of the concerns at point guard going forward. Teague is a commodity, like you said, and I think he's probably the most movable player we have on the roster. And so, you know, you're going to play him, I think, because I think you really are trying to make a playoff push, and I think starting Teague gives you the best chance to win more games and possibly get one of the lower seeds in the West. You know, I do think that he's probably not going to be here next year, just because of what we may be able to attain for him, possibly his feelings about playing on this team and his ability to, you know, sort of move on if that is the case as far as contract and so on. And so I think you either way, you're going to see probably more minutes for Jones and Teague's minutes pulled back a little bit, but I think, you know, Teague will start. Coming off the break, we're going to probably see Covington again, hopefully, and that's when we'll start to see the lineups, you know, kind of move around a little bit, because then you can move Saric in and you can move Covington in and out. You can take Gibson in and out. You got to start to have a little bit more moving in that front court a little bit to see what you like best as far as matching up and playing with Towns. And so I think you're going to see a lot of different changing parts. Now, I could be wrong. He might just stick to a lineup and go with that. But I feel like his options will sort of be there a little bit more, play around and see what he likes for lineups. He hasn't really had a chance to do that yet. And so as long as you kind of are being competitive and winning enough games to make a playoff push worth it, then you're going to see that. I like Tyus. I think he will be here, whether it's a starter or a backup. So I don't think that's going to be a problem of keeping him here. I just think, you know, you want to find the right fit for him, and I believe that is probably a backup point guard. You know, and then you've got to look at the draft. You know, who can you get? And then after that, you know, who's expendable as to who you picked up? And can that person that you drafted come in and play significant minutes, or is it going to take a year, possibly D-League? Then you got Kata Bates-Diop down there in the D-League. Do you want to pull him up, see where he fits in the forwards. So we kind of got a lot of forwards. We got a lot of point guards. We got a couple guys on 10-day contracts, probably won't stick. It'd be nice to see someone come up and make it worthy of sticking, but that's probably not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to see, I think, a lot of lineup in flux and try to find the best fit going forward. You know, do you see Covington as being a movable piece, or is he contract-wise kind of stuck here for a year or two and then possibly be moving there, possibly trade? Where do you kind of stand on Covington, assuming he comes back healthy and plays out the rest of the season?
I see him as the third most movable. I think we got to put Cat in there, obviously. You know what I mean? Because, sure, he's making max, but numbers-wise, he's living up to his max right now. And other people will think that, too, that we would trade him to, theoretically. I'm not saying that I want to. But, you know, I guess if I'm being technical, which I, you know, sometimes I'm a little too technical and I need to just shut up. But, yeah. Yeah, I think that he's probably the you know. But, yeah, I'm with you on Teague being movable, but as far as the most movable in the going into next year. But yeah, Covington is very movable, definitely, because his contract is not nuts. He can hit the three. He will bring you energy. His stats when he got here with him in the lineup and now without him in the lineup, I think is telling to any GM around the league. It's a nice contract. It's a very nice contract, especially if you grow his role even more like he would happen here and probably likely where he'd go because, you know, when you had those two key pieces in Philly and even some veteran players around that, you know, it just wasn't going to be as big. And here you could see we already expanding his role. So contract-wise, yes, he's very movable, but he's also – he can produce, especially the way we're going to ask more of him here, and you could kind of see he was responding to that, or I think it was pretty clear he was responding to that. I think he gives us a good bang for our buck with Wiggins and with Gorgie. That's not bang for your buck, unfortunately. So I think we got to keep the players that give us as many players as we can that give us bang for the buck. Saric might end up in that. Matters not, you know, pertaining to his contract, I guess. But, yeah, I think Covington's very movable. You know, this is his first year of a four-year contract, so – even if we could move him in 2 years, possibly, who knows? But I would definitely like to keep him. And I'm with you. I think we start Teague, and maybe play him a little less minutes. I mean, he's been injured this year anyway, so we could just tell him that's the reason, even if it wasn't. But I like your idea with playing Tyus a little bit more. We have, you know, stat wise, especially last year, there was a stretch I think of 10 games or something like that. Where Teague was out and Tyus, that's where a lot of this start Tyus start, you know, theme started because he played really well. The plus minus when, you know, he was starting the offensive flow, the efficiency, he does have a great assist to turnover, you know, and I think if he was allowed to hit more of those open threes, or I should say take more of those open threes, I think he could. I really think he's that borderline starter bench player in a perfect world. I agree off the bench, but you know, with Rose, if we could sign him for a couple years and bring him off the bench with that instant offense, man, I am kind of stuck though. I do think Tyus has a chance to be a pretty damn good starter here or in just a handful of spots around the league. Ultimately though, I'm with you as far as knowing, I know he's a good backup player. So there is that. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this, as far as keeping Rose and keeping Tyus, will come down to Teague. I don't know if we can keep, you know, Rose, Teague, and, you know, Tyus, or the, you know, the amount of balls to go around. Not like, you know, Tyus doesn't shoot a lot. And even if you think of Teague overall, he doesn't shoot a ton, whereas Rose, his MO is I'm driving, and if they're on me, I'm dishing, but I'm going to try to go to the rack. And he's got, you know, he's got those crafty kind of old school moves to make up for the lack of explosiveness that is not there anymore. But still, you could really tell how damn good of a driver and dribbler and just, you know, crafty moves he does before takeoff or during takeoff as well. So, but I'm right there with you. I think we start Teague. He's a damn good player. He's a good, you know, we never really got to see Rose and Covington, or I'm sorry, Teague and Covington together for long stretches either. And it just Teague and, you know, or Covington in the starting lineup. You know, I do think this is a lower tier playoff caliber team if we're healthy. I actually do believe that. But, you know, does that mean in 2-3 years, oh my God, I can, you know, we're going to be up there as a second seed? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we can grow with this team per se, but I think, you know, we are going to be busy. Now we're talking a little more long-term. We are going to be busy, or at least make one trade, I believe. It could be during the draft. It could be a sign-and-trade free agency. I don't know. But we're going to have to, well, you know, the old give to get, we're going to have to give and give. You know, we're going to probably have to give a first-round pick away and give, you know, Gorgie away, you know, just to get rid of more. If we ever try to move Wiggins, they're going to have to get a first-round pick probably too, which is crazy, but it's true because of the money, you know, he makes in his inconsistency. But if you look at it, you know, obviously the young rookie, Okogie, he's going to be a damn good player. Now, whether it's going to be a lot like Covington, where it's a 3-and-D, I really hope that's where it's at, you know, with him, because both those guys can get to the rack and be explosive and or cut to the rack without the ball as well. Both move pretty well without the ball. But I think, barring, you know, it may be just getting rid of Gorgie's contract and then trying to get the most out of the players we have, an improvement they can make, you know, internally. I mean, Cat can still take it up a notch, and it's especially defensively overall. We know Wiggins can, and we're going to really eyeball Wiggins' numbers by the end of the year. There has been an overall improvement beyond just scoring. Now, let's see if he stays steady with it. I don't know if he will. He neared a triple-double the other night, coming off a double-double, which is like, whoa, what's going on with you, Wiggs? But you know, the expansion of Dario and Covington's role, and they're, you know, he is only 24, Dario. And then obviously, you know, Okogie, he's going to have to get even better and be a little bit more, just be better. Less of, you know, when you get to the playoffs or you're playing good teams, you can't have the vulnerability of not hitting a shot. And right now he does have some of that, but we don't feature him like that. So I think he's going to be okay. Like I said, his numbers, the way he shoots, the look of it, I think he's going to be okay from the field in that. It's kind of scary, though, when you look at his numbers from the field, like the field goal percentage and the three. It's really, really horrible. But the energy he brings makes you forget about that. That will obviously have to come up. But honestly, it has to be internal. Wiggins has to be more consistent. You know, Dario growing, Okogie growing. Do you think that in the next 2 years, those players could actually lift this up just as much as maybe a trade? And the only reason why I say that is because we're not going to get value for value. We're probably going to get two players for Wiggins or Gorgie that probably won't even be as good as Covington. I don't know that to be a fact, but you know what I mean? I don't think we'll even get the good combo, because at least Butler showed his difference when he came here, right? Clearly, we saw the difference. And when he was hurt down the stretch last year, we saw the difference when he was out. So we could get more for him. I think if people don't want to hear this, Aaron, I certainly don't, because we've been waiting around for how many damn years, and it was such a tease to get there and even have our eyes on that third seed at one point last year, going to actually be a dump trade to get rid of salary, maybe, you know, be able to find someone in the draft or whatever, but it's got to be the growth from about four players on our squad to see if we can grow with these as Golden State's figuring out, are they going to still be great and elite and unbeatable in the playoffs, or will they just be good and Durant leaves? That's part of it too, and that's kind of the whole part of this process. Until Golden State breaks up, that's fine and dandy to say, hey, we're on the up and up, man. This core right here could win a championship. They're not going to win a friggin' championship with the team that's built the way Golden State is now. I do think it'll break up at the end of the season, though. I really think with Clay and Durant free agents, I just don't see how they're going to keep it all together. Plus, Durant's just not getting the credit he thought he'd get. He will in 20 years, but he's just not getting it now, so I think he'll go someplace after winning three. So internal improvement is really the only way I see us being a successful playoff team with the current roster and the cap number.
I'm just sort of going to spitball here a little bit, Chris. You know, I think it's hard to look into the future just because there's so much up in the air, but like I said, assuming that Saunders stays the coach, I think you're going to see a significant change in the style of play. I think you're going to see a change based around the way that we use Towns. You know, I think that Tibbs wanted to see come something that he wasn't really, and sort of kind of become an old school center slash power forward. And we're learning now that it's probably not Towns' strength. I think Towns' strength is in running the floor and in transition. Therefore, I think you're going to see us get a little bit more running the floor a little bit more and getting younger. Now, so I think the moves we're going to see is going to be probably dropping a lot of age. Teague, Gibson, Jang, age and contracts are probably what are going to probably leave this team, and we're going to probably keep guys like Jones, Saric, possibly Wiggins. I'd like to move Wiggins. I think everybody here would like to move Wiggins. But like you said, getting value is probably not going to be possible. And, you know, you got to find a taker who's willing to put some faith in Wiggins. And just kind of watching his career so far, I think it might be kind of hard to find anybody who thinks they can get more out of him than we have. Now, I'm not saying that someone can't. Obviously, if he joined the Lakers or something and played with LeBron and all the other complement of players that they're going to put together, maybe that'll, you know, raise his play. And I think he, you know, as you were talking, I thought that for the Lakers, and the way they're sort of building around LeBron, Teague is sort of that point guard that you're going to kind of want. I feel like the Lakers would probably be in good stead to take a look at Teague. He's, you know, he drives the basket. He's good with the ball. He's good in transition. He can get you in and out of your defensive sets and your offensive sets. He's got a lot of experience. He's a veteran. You know, that kind of point guard that you'd want to, with all the other parts that are going to be built around LeBron, you feel like that's the kind of guy that might fit in really well in L.A. I don't know what L.A. would be willing to give. I mean, L.A.'s the kind of team that if they want somebody, they'll give you a heck of a lot, probably more draft picks than players because they're trying to accumulate players. So I think we're probably going to end up getting rid of some age, probably coming back with some draft picks. So we'll probably have a lot of draft stock either this season or next season. Wiggins, you'll probably get draft picks for if you trade him. I really don't think we're going to be able to, so I really see him in the future playing on the squad for probably his contract. I certainly hope that's not the case, but more than likely that will be.
Next year, he's got a goal, though, for next year All-Star game. Did you hear that? He's got a goal, Aaron. Let the guy be.
Well,
he's got
I'm
a
bad,
goal.
You know? Yeah, I mean, I hope that he meets his goal. That would help us out a lot. But, yeah, I mean, you do your starting lineup possibly for next year, just kind of throwing shit at the wall here. You can start Jones and then maybe a point guard of somebody you pick up. Excuse me, I'm going to cough here.
That's cool.
Somebody
no
to
problem.
Pick up.
I'll fill in.
Sure. Somebody to pick up that you fill the point guard spot. So, Okoji, you can kind of be that tweener. You can play the two or the one in spots. So, go Jones and the, or the other point guard, and then Okoji at the two. He'd probably pick up somebody else at the two, but I think Okoji's spot is probably that two. And then Wiggins, Sarge, and Towns. So, I mean, that's a running team. You're going to be running quite a bit there. Now, it's hard to tell what you're going to pick up in the offseason, but as of right now, I think we're going to go young. We're going to run. And it could be an exciting brand of basketball, but it's, again, you know, it's another rebuild, another new plan, and it just kind of continues to always be that way for the Timberwolves.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is the frustrating and tough thing about it. And you never know, man, if Rose went someplace, I still think people are going to throw him money or not just money, but like years. I think that's even more important to him is the years part. If he doesn't stay, you know, a guy like Bayless off the bench, if Tyus decides to go someplace else, maybe Phoenix, who needs a point guard, will pay him a little bit more money. I don't mind as somewhat of a band-aid for the next couple of years. I think Bayless is going to come off the bench. He's a good shooter, too. So I'd actually I think get off the bench, too. I 100% agree with the two – well, more than just 2 points, but the Flip Saunders – or God damn it, I did it again. Ryan Saunders. I'm so sorry, Flip. R.I.P. Ryan Saunders, I'm with you. He's going to be back. And I'm also with you, and I think you made a good point about how he's going to shape and use a more modern way to use Cat. We're starting to see it a little bit more. I'm right there with you on that. Now, obviously, you know, we're not going to talk trade much, but Tolliver for C.J. Miles seemed like a good trade to make. You texted me that, like, right after we were done with our show. It's like, oh, wow, that was on the block, huh? I may have wanted that guy. Anything else, you know, Wolves-related before we get to a very short and abrupt Gophers segment?
No, I mean, I think we covered a lot. I think a lot's going to count, you know, as who comes back and how they come back after the All-Star break. And until then, you know, it's kind of all up in the air. And, you know, even that look forward that we did is just – you just don't really see – anything definitive in the future, except for that you'll probably have Towns next year, and you'll probably have, you know, a couple other guys. And other than that, it's kind of all in flux. And I guess that could be taken as good because he's shaking things up, but also as bad
sure.
because, you know, like I said, it's another new plan. But yeah, I did not see the blowout at Michigan State. Now, we both saw a loss for the Golden Gophers. I also didn't know they were having the celebration at the halftime and Magic Johnson was going to be there and all that other stuff. That's no excuse, but at the same time, you did kind of run into a buzzsaw, but it's a game you needed. And, you know, to lose 55-79 on the road to Michigan State, had you won a game or two before that, wouldn't be as devastating in the long run as it was.
Sure.
But, you know, this team needs to get off the schneid, and they need it badly.
Yeah, I mean, it was 35-24. They started out horrible. They managed to be within range a little bit, but you're sitting there with Coffee with three fouls, Gabe or Torrey, like a bunch of people with fouls at that point. And like you said, it is no excuse to just look that bad, especially. You know, it's one thing. Okay, you had a bad half. You know, you shot 30%. They shot 46%. You know, too many turnovers. Not hitting our free throws early in that game. Getting out-rebounded. That's not really a big deal to get out-rebounded by Michigan State. They're kind of known for that. But 2 minutes into the damn second half, and the Spartans increased the damn lead 41-24. You know, forcing a timeout. Murphy, Coffee, poor play, 0 points combined. We're talking at 55-35, 7 minutes into the second half, that's just horrible. Like, you were, that's how you're going to start the second half like that. And it was just pathetic. And then the first points, I mean, Murphy picked it up minorly, but Coffey didn't get his first points with, you know, until 8 minutes left in the damn game. Like, it was just, it was rough. It was rough, and that's all we're going to say about that. Let's move on to a game that was at least competitive. Well, I shouldn't say that. It was very competitive. It was actually a game that, when you look back at it against Nebraska, on the road, they had a, you know, actually a pretty big crowd there, as they do there. You know, we started strong. Arturo and Murphy started very strong. And I'm loving, you know, we've talked about Gabe, you know, the last handful of shows and how he's improved. And in the center, the young center here from Creighton-Durham Hall, he is really starting to, you know, we need to feed him in the post, because he's really legit in there. And I'm excited for the future overall. I think it was like 19, you know, to 11, 10 minutes in. And basically they were up, you know, they had a nice little lead in Nebraska, cut it to 31-30. No free throws for the Gophers at half. I mean, didn't we have that with the Wisconsin game too? Both teams are shooting the lights out though, 50%, both of them. A lot of points in the paint for both of them as well. We kind of both started hot, especially from three, but Nebraska, you know, really got hot from three there for a moment anyway. With 10 minutes left, it's a 49-46 game. Pretty close game overall. All the way to 4 minutes left, we're down 59-55. Arturo, offensive rebound, got fouled, hit the two free throws, and it's 59-59. Murphy gets a layup, a quick little layup, where I guess you could have maybe said that he found his way in the lane illegally. Okay, I'm willing to give that to the refs possibly, so it's just one makeup call, not a couple, but we're up 65-59. And it looked like to me that the Nebraska defender was not only moving his feet, but he got in the path. It wasn't a clear path for Murphy, you know, and they called a charge, and it probably shouldn't have been blocking. Now, I know the broadcaster said, well, actually, you don't have to be. You can move your feet as long as you're in position. Well, hold on, dude. Like, clear path is clear path. I thought that, okay, that's the makeup call right there. Cool. And like you said, if you listen to the show, whether the Living in Loserville show for Minnesota basketball or the Purple Eater, you know, the Purple People Eaters podcast for Minnesota Vikings and Gophers, you know, we don't just blame the refs. We're not all the way homers like that. Yeah, we want to think positive. Maybe sometimes we're over negative because it's your own squad, right? It's your home squad. But we try to call it down, you know, right down the center. And, I mean, first of all, they called the ball out on a player who didn't have the ball. And he had gotten the ball to McBrayer, who was standing thin and there, to not check that play. That kind of pissed me off. And it was like, no, you're wrong. Okay, just throw it in. And it was like, whoa, wait a second. What are we throwing the ball in so quick for? What is this, you know, like, are we waiting for the red flag to come out? Like in football where teams just line up on the line of scrimmage real quick and just get a snap off? That's what it felt to me. They should have reviewed that play. And when you see it from a couple angles, it was clear that right there, up by 2 points, or up by a point, they could have – I mean, I just don't get that right there. That was a bad call. So that's back-to-back bad calls. But at least we'll just call it one bad call, because at least it's a makeup call for the Murphy thing. Because you could have called a foul maybe on that layup. But then Coffey called for a foul with 1.1 left. And to me, it really looked like Palmer initiated the damn contact, and Coffey went straight up. Where are you on all of this here? Because I liked how we played, you know, down the stretch overall. Neither team hit a bunch of threes, but percentage-wise, we were okay there. I thought maybe we should have got to the line more, only eight, but considering we didn't get to the line early in the game, eight's not that bad, I guess. where are you at with the close of this game? I liked how we grinded back. You know what I mean? I did like that. I'll say that. But what do you think about a couple of those calls down the stretch, Aaron?
Well, this is, you know, this is what gets my goat a little bit. Okay, so let's go rewind a little bit and go back to that Wisconsin game we had at home. We had a home game getting road calls. I mean, that in itself is a mystery. I thought we should have won that Wisconsin game, and I think we would have had we got home calls. Now, we move that forward, forget about Michigan State and go to Nebraska. So we've got these calls, right? And I'm, at this point, you know, as a Minnesota sports fan, when the commentator has to explain the rule book along with the call, I mean, it's getting kind of pathetic, you know, where we're getting these calls to the point where they're so arbitrary that we have to have a rules explanation just to make sure that the game doesn't seem out of hand in some way. So this is starting to be a recurring theme, no matter what sport we watch, particularly in this Big Ten season. And so now we have a game in Nebraska, which we thought we got a pretty good handle on coming up towards the end of that game, and swings in officiating and perception as to making calls is what brought us to a one-point loss in that game. So now we have – and you got to think to yourself that Nebraska is going to get some calls that they're at home, which brings me back to the Wisconsin games where we should have got some of those calls, particularly when a guy like Davison is doing what he's doing. So that just kind of boggles my mind. And I keep going on again with, you know, like you said, we don't want to put everything on calls, but when you lose two games in the Big Ten during this four-game losing streak, with some questionable calls in close games at the end, you know, it just kind of makes you, you wonder, one home, one away, you know, just kind of scratch your head at it. So you know, that's kind of where I stand on it, hoping that they'll even out coming down the stretch here. You know, they say that those type of things throughout a season tend to even out. So I'm looking for the other side of that coin in the next few games. And that would be Indiana at home, and you know they're playing better. They're they've improved a little bit. Langford and Morgan have picked up their play. Vegas has got it at a pick 'em. We got us plus +3, but us being at home, that's pretty much a pick 'em. And you know it's the kind of game we should win. Murphy is going to have a pretty good night rebounding. They don't really have a rebounder that can kind of do what he does, so I expect him to have a high double-double. And, you know, in this losing streak, I've sort of noticed, you know, what do you think about Coffee? Do you think that the defenses have just sort of, like, bracketed him and they figure if they can take Coffee out, then the rest will kind of fall into place? Because he really hasn't had the kind of games that you'd look for ever since maybe going back to you know, maybe the game before the Wisconsin game, he sort of had a pretty good line, but he's been, you know, conspicuously absent, not only his energy, but in his stat line as well. So, excuse me, Coffee has to show up for the rest of this Big Ten season, or we're going to lose a lot of games scoring in the 60s and the 50s.
I think it may be some sort of bracketed, they figured it out or whatever, because he was – for most of the season, he was able to, yeah, okay, you have a bad shooting night, you bounce right back, and he'd go for 25 and 7 assists. You know, he's had, two or three 30-point games in Big Ten play. So it might be that. He just doesn't seem confident with the shot. Even a three-pointer that he hit, he hesitated before he shot it. And it was like, dude, just shoot it. You know, just shoot the damn ball. So, yeah, it could be a confidence. It could be that they just took away a couple of things that he was doing really well, and now they're saying make us, you know, beat us a different way. You know, and so that could be this Indiana game. It's a must win. You know, when we bring up the question NCAA or NIT, this is it. This is the type of game that we need to win. Four out of the last five, just stretching back to January 25th, are losses for Indiana, and I know it stretches back even further. It's a home game. You know, we're four in a row. Something's got to give. We've lost four in a row now. And so it's a must win. I do think they are going to win, but Indiana's in a must win situation too, you know, and being, you know, affiliated with the GruelingTruth.net, what's going on, Indiana Hoosier fans, where, you know, we may meet in the Final Four of the NIT. So buckle up for that late March, but this is a must win. Got to have it, and Michigan's at home next. And we started doing the 6-game thing, the 8-game thing. If we go 3-3, here we are. We got 6 games left of the Big Ten regular season. Must win Indiana. Michigan's going to be tough. We almost beat them on the road. It'd be nice to get a win there. I don't know if they will. But then they're on the road again, but at Rutgers and at Northwestern, those are must-win games. And then Purdue and Maryland to end, one at home, one on the road. We need one of those. We need one of those. We need at least a 3-3 at the bare minimum. At the bare minimum, Aaron, we need a 3-3. I'd say 4-2 this last 6, meaning we basically have to win the games we're supposed to win and pull an upset against Maryland, Purdue at home, or Michigan at home. So we got the upset games we need out of those 3, 2 of them are at home. So we can, you know, that's it. That is it, man. We're sitting right there because now here we are, you know, 6-8. Maybe 9-11 gets us in. Maybe. It's a possibility. It is a possibility, but so go 3-3. The minimum 3-3 in that stretch and then another game, if not 2, in the tourney. I actually, like you said, we are a bubble team. So if we went 3-3, that would give us another ranked opponent win, and we could get another quadrant 1 win in there too with Indiana, right? Because we know those quad wins are big. But we're sitting there, right? You know, now Ohio State's actually over us. Now they played one less game, so we'll see where that goes. But the crazy thing is, we're 6-8. We're only 5 games out of first place. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's how tight it is. So, yeah, we need this next game. And like I said, beat one of those 3 ranked games. And I believe we're in. I believe we're in instead of the NIT Blues.
Yeah, the flip side of that, though, is if you lose to Indiana, then I think you need 2 quality wins going forward, and that's a tough sell there with Michigan and the others and the like. I mean, you need that Indiana win. You cannot afford to lose that game at home to a 4-9 Indiana team. You just can't do it. It's not good for your resume. That's a punch your ticket to the NIT right there. And, you know, we rank either last or close to last in the Big Ten in defense and 3-point shooting. And that's got to improve on both notes. You can't – I see, you know, defense is something that it's effort and you can change that. But 3-point shooting besides Gabe, you know, it's slim, maybe a little bit from McBrayer, yep. Maybe a little bit from Coffee. They got to look to shoot them and they got to shoot them better. To get any wins against quality teams like Michigan or Maryland, and you know they're going to shoot them and they're going to make them. So you know you've got to improve that, and you've got to improve your defense. Without that, you know it's an NIT berth unless you make a nice little run in the Big Ten tournament. And you know, depending on your seeding and where you are and who you play, that's you don't know what's going to happen there. So yeah, you got to have this one against Indiana. You need one against one of the quality opponents coming up. And then you need to win the games that you need to win. And you know, they can do it. They just got to, you know, regroup, get their stuff together, and decide to play defense a little bit harder. And I think they got a chance. But you're right. You're absolutely right about what they need to do coming forward to make the NCAA tournament.
Anything else that you'd like to add before we get the hell on out of here, sir?
No, man. I mean it. They've pretty much laid it out for both teams there.
There we go. There we have it. Well, before we get out of here real quick, I was talking to you early about cord cutting. Are you thinking about it or you have and you're just not happy? Or maybe, well, obviously you're a sports fan if you're listening to this. So you do want cable. You do want the smallest cable package. I don't need 155 channels. I don't need a friggin' bill that's $155 either. You should give it at least give it a try. You can start a 7-day free trial on DirecTV now. You can see these packages. It's a streaming service. If you got a smart TV, you put the Roku, you put the Apple, you know, Apple TV, whatever. There's a variety of different things that you can just plug right into your smart TV. But for as little as $40 a month, that's 65 live channels. 55 a month, that's 85. 65, it's called Go Big, that's 105. Basically, you got to have it, they call this one, over 125 if you want some other movie channels like Stars and other stuff like that. They even have a Spanish up to 90 channels package for 45. Whatever package it is, like I said earlier, you can get, you know, the $65 package. Add HBO, add Showtime, still have Amazon on your smart TV. Still, you could do ESPN Plus if you wanted to. Still have Netflix, and it's going to be cheaper than paying for cable TV. Just so you know, the technology does need to improve even more across the way, no doubt about it. That's what some people, I know that was me. I was wondering, man, like, I don't want to be watching games and it just goes out for an hour. You know what I mean? So obviously the technology still needs to improve, but I tried YouTube cable. I tried Hulu. I tried Sling. I had about 5-6 weeks where I cut my cable and just was making a decision, and I found DirecTV now is the best. This is real. I had DirecTV satellite. I canceled it. So I'm on DirecTV now for about – that's a deal just in general, low prices. But for those who are AT&T customers like myself, and I have been since the second cell phone I had, I've been an AT&T customer, for better or for worse, right? So if you have AT&T, DirecTV now, those 40, 55, 65, those packages I told you about, you can lock those in for 2 years. Okay, so if you're an AT&T, it's still a good deal straight up with DirecTV now. But if you're an AT&T customer especially, you can literally lock those in and before inflation gets to you in 2 years, because you know it will anyway, but you could at least, you know, kick it down the street a little bit. And by then, I've noticed an improvement in the technology in the 6, 7, 8 months I've had it. But, you know, after your deal, by that time, the streaming services will be probably up to snuff. But anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Same with my co-host, Aaron. That's it for Living in Loserville. Won't be much Timberwolves to talk about next week, but we will be all in Gophers, no doubt about it. We'll also preview some of the games, the stretch run overall for the Timberwolves after the All-Star break. We are out of here. Have yourself a good weekend. Go Gophers tomorrow in the next game. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand. So now when